Welcome to Banking on KC. I'm your host, Kelly Scanlon. Thank you for joining us. With us on this episode is Mike Sennett, the CEO and President of Goodwill Eastern Kansas and Western Missouri. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I think like most people, you know, I thought it was a place that you could donate or that you can shop for secondhand items, but I've learned the organization's mission is much broader. So tell us about that broader mission.
Yeah, and I think that's the normal thing is people do see us as the thrift store. They've been donating goods to us for many, many years. They've been shopping our stores. But it's the back of house that we've got to get better at communicating with people what we do. And the primary purpose is we help people with barriers get jobs. And last year, we did over 500 people in new jobs. We served over 2,000 people. And it's through different programs, different training, and an individualized, customized approach to everybody that walks through the door.
You also have some programs for sustainability, for reducing waste, some really innovative ways of accomplishing those things. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so we really participate in the community in a number of different ways besides selling gently used goods and clothing. We take those donations through a social enterprise approach, take the donations, we put it on the sale floor, we sell it to a market that needs that, that fits their budget. Average price of our items are just lower $5 a piece. And what we don't sell, we take over to Front Street to our retail outlet center where we sell it by the bulk. And then what doesn't get sold there, we put into recycling and we sell into the secondary market of recycles.
Okay. So when you say they buy, who would be your customers that are buying this in bulk?
Secondary market people. That we actually have college kids that are coming in and reselling things on eBay or whatever. Okay. They buy novelty items that don't get sold in the stores, and they can buy it at a very discounted rate compared to the store. It serves the purpose. What it does is it puts things back into use that would normally go to a landfill. So we're trying to avert the landfill choice and give options to people. That's a better green community if we do that. We had 18.3 million pounds of recycled material just last year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people, when you think about the recycle, they don't think about the reuse part of it.
Right.
You mentioned workforce development. It's a huge part of your mission. What are some of the key programs that you offer?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, first is we offer a trauma and care form approach to taking care of people. We meet them where they are in their journey. We don't try to paint them into a box that says, this is what you need to be. So we try to find out where they are in their journey, where they're headed, where they've been. And then we customize and tailor an approach to helping them get a job. So we have the ABCs, a job, a better job, and then a career. And some people that have been coming through the process, sometimes they were in the workforce and they were doing a career, but something along their journey took them down a different path. So what we want to do is rediscover what is their goal, what is their long-term aspirations. And then what we do is build an action plan for each individual as to, all right, do you want to go into our Bridge to Technology program? Do you want to go into warehousing certification? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this with Google? Do you want to go back to school? What are the different things? And we have multiple community partners that we work with, including the Metropolitan Community Colleges, where we can actually get back into school and try to find them opportunities for more valued, more self-sustaining employment.
So when you talk about your job training programs, they aren't just for opportunities within Goodwill. They can be for any kind of industry, basically, any kind of work.
Absolutely. Our Certified Manufacturing Association program is actually a certified program that when they go through the 10 weeks of coursework, they actually graduate from the program. And we have business partners that come in that actually give jobs to them upon graduation.
How does the jobs training that you're doing fit into the retail stores? They seem like such different types of goals. How does it work together?
Many of the people that come through our training programs actually do end up in our stores. 33% of our store employees are either veterans or they have some kind of documented disability. And we're very, very proud of that.
You had a program during COVID, I believe, that was for incarcerated folks. I believe it was called Good Path, and it was a community reentry program. And I know you're no longer offering that, but you have something similar. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, that program originally was designed to work with inmates coming out of incarceration before their departure. And it just wasn't proving to be as successful. So now we're working with the Department of Corrections on people as they exit imprisonment and incarceration and put them into roles that we've fostered relationships with other partners that will take people that might have a record, but be able to use them. You know, right now we have a lot of jobs open and a lot of need for jobs. And what our job is to try to sort through all of the hassles and barriers that they experience in order to get to the right spot and get that job.
Do they go through the other types of workforce training programs that you've already described, or is it a specialized program?
They can. It depends on where they are in their journey. You know, what did they bring to the table? What kind of skills and attributes did they carry in? What do they still have? What did they get while they were incarcerated, if anything? And then where do they want to go? What is their interest? Do they want to get into technology? Do they want to get into construction, the trades? Do they want to be in retail? It just, we kind of customize the approach to them.
You mentioned one of the programs a minute ago. I want to dive a little bit deeper into it. It's called Bridge to Technology.
Yes, the Artemis Institute.
Yes. One of the goals of that program is to increase diversity and equity in technology-based fields. So how does the program work? And what are some of the outcomes that you're seeing? And importantly, how are you marching towards that goal to diversity and equity in technology?
Well, we help everybody that comes through our door. And we introduce possibilities to people that weren't introduced to before. And that's where we get our diversity. And so this course curriculum is Bridge to Technology. And what it does is it opens the eyes of an individual to what technology has to offer. They actually come in, they start working on computers, they start writing code. We've had individuals do website development, learn how to do that. We've learned how to build robotics. We use 3D printers. So there's all aspects of this 10-week curriculum that we utilize in order to generate interest. And if there's interest, then we can pursue and explore added possibilities beyond that. So it's kind of an entry level into technology. So that's why we call it the Bridge to Technology. Because some people, they don't have computers, they don't have, you know, the smartphones, they just don't even have email addresses. So how do we open these doors to them? And this is part of that program.
Yeah, so this 10 weeks is a foundational assessment of which direction they might go within technology fields.
And we have some that come in and it's right up their alley. Some that come in and go, well, I gave it a shot, it's not really my thing. And that's fine. But we're just going to explore options for them.
Yeah. So where do you do all this training? Do you have locations within Goodwill?
We do.
Okay, tell us about those facilities.
We do. We do some offsite, but we have our lab, which is where we do the Artemis Institute lab, where we have our computers, we have our 3D printer, we have all this different stuff that we use as part of our curriculum. We have an in-house teacher that does this. We do probably 11 sessions every year. I'd like to do more if I can find some additional funding. And then the ultimate goal is to have them graduate through the program. And we bring in partners again, as we do with the certified manufacturing program. We do this, we bring in business partners that say they have a presentation, the employers get a chance to see that presentation, and oftentimes they'll issue job opportunities right there on the spot.
So a little bit of a jobs fair, everything all in one.
It is, yeah. And it's very individualized because everybody that goes through the program gets to do a presentation. Whether this is the website I developed, this is I did this, or this coding I did. I started coding before I got into trouble. I'm doing coding now. I'm going back to it. This is where my brain is. And we've had some very, very smart people come through the program that are clean now that go into some really nice paying jobs. Very excited about that.
Collaboration. You mentioned that you do work with some businesses. Are there any partnerships or collaborations that have been particularly successful for you?
Yeah, and these are probably our top five, and I don't really have a quantitative way to say these are the specific top five, but Literacy KC is a very good partner of ours. Metropolitan Community College, as I mentioned earlier. The Transportation Center of Kansas City, we work with them. City Union Mission, we have people from their programs come over, be part of our programs. And then Sheffield Place, which is a digital literacy opportunity. So good business partners. And that's just one of probably close to 100 that we have that we've developed over the years. And we want to continue to develop and build. Because again, we want to explore all of the possible options available to the individual.
Can you point to any success stories that you're especially proud of?
Well, graduation day is a big day in our company. Everybody from senior leadership to middle management come in. They participate in the graduation ceremony. We applaud when they get their diplomas. We're there to meet the collaborators that come in, the businesses that come in, the job opportunities. So just that building a relationship and building a support foundation for them, cheering them on. Graduation day is probably one of the funnest days that we have. Well, we had one example that I thought was particularly exciting. It was a young man's opportunity to stand up and give his presentation, and his mother was there. And she's very proud of the fact that he was here, he was accomplishing this, and he gets a phone call, and he takes the phone call just as he's getting ready to go up and present. And she, of course, she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're supposed to go up. He says, it's a job offer, Mom. I'm taking it. It's a job offer. And somebody was calling him right then, and he was on the phone. We went to the next one, circled back to him, but he actually got a job offer while he was there.
Oh my gosh, that's like something that happens in the movies.
I know, isn't it crazy? Great? I just love that story. And I was sat right next to him. I'm like, hey, dude, you got to be getting ready for this. And nope, that job offer was way more important.
You have an adult high school as well. Tell us about that.
Well, we're hoping for a brand new adult high school. We just got approval from the state of Missouri to open an adult high school. Very, very excited about that. It's an opportunity for us to open an actual school for adults that do not have a diploma. It's not a GED program. It's not a HISET program. It is an actual high school program that we will actually have a principal, we'll have teachers, we'll have guidance counselors. We're hoping to serve between 250 and 300 students. They have to be over the age of 21 to get in it. 60,000 adults in the Kansas City area do not have a high school diploma. 60,000. So we're very excited about this opportunity. We have a sister Goodwill in St. Louis. They've already started this. They've been doing this for about 5 years. We've watched what they've been doing, and now we're in a position where we got approval from the state who will help fund this for us. And we will be opening in the fall of 25. We don't have a location yet. We just got approval for this, but we're out next week, this week, looking for new sites. You'll be in Jackson County. It'll be for Missouri residents. And it's very exciting because, you know, having a high school education and a diploma just opens so many more doors to you, because the power of work is really what makes the individual. It allows them to contribute to the community. It provides a sustainable life. It adds for their family, quality time, and it gives you dignity, self-respect. For what we can do in maybe 2 years, we'll be very excited about. We'll provide life coaches. We'll provide case management. We'll help them with barriers if they've got a learning disability barrier or some kind of a residence, transportation, any of the above. We are actually planning to have a child care center on site, no charge.
Yeah, with adults, there's bound to be children that will be involved.
With adults, you got to do that.
So 2025, fall of 2025, is not that far off.
No, it's very close.
you got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, we do.
Including getting that site. So it'll function just like our regular high school, in addition to some of the things that adult learners would need, such as the life coaches and so forth. But otherwise, they show up every day and go to school.
They will. They'll enter into a 8-week course. Before we bring them in, we'll go through an intake process. We'll find out how much schooling they have, if any. We'll go get those records and understand where they are in their journey. And then we can actually build from they may be one credit hour away from graduating. We'll work with them to help find exactly where they are in their transcripts and their journey, apply that to our program, and then offer classes. Our plan is to hire 6 teachers, more as we need it. We hope to be able to open satellite locations down the road.
This is a huge thing, but are there any other new projects on the horizon?
Yeah, we're constantly looking at grant opportunities to add to our workforce development. We're constantly working with the trade associations, trying to understand where we can assist them, because as you know, the trades are really desperate for good people. We have one class that we just added is a virtual welding class. You actually put on the mask and you put the gloves on and you actually virtually weld, which is really cool. So technology there is something we can do. We're constantly looking for how do we stay relevant in the needs of the community for workforce development and workforce placement. So we're constantly working with other employers in the community, working with City of Kansas City, working with other legislators, just trying to figure out where is our niche and how can we best serve.
Along with these new initiatives and projects that you're talking about, I don't want to overlook the retail stores. You have a good foundation, but I know you have more plans. So tell us about what's in store for the retail side of things.
Yeah, we're very excited. We have 17 stores, two of which we just opened this past year. We opened a new store in Waldo, and we just opened a new store in Olathe. We have two more planned for this year, one in Belton and one at Midtown, about 37th and Main Street, right on the streetcar line. That's bringing us into markets that we think we can serve. They're underserved markets now. And as I mentioned before, a big part of the people that come through our program go into our stores. So each store is between 35 and 40 employees. So that'll be 80 new employees we add to our payroll in the coming year. Many of those will have barriers. Many of those will have some kind of known disability.
So those who are inspired by all of this, by all of this good work, and might want to get involved, what are the best ways that they can do that? First of all, what are some of the ways? And then what's the best way to get in touch with you to let you know that they're out there and want to participate?
Yeah, you bet. You can go to our website where we have a lot of information out there as far as donations. We are a nonprofit 501c3, so we welcome any and all donations. We are revitalizing our volunteer program. During COVID, it kind of fell to the wayside. Now that everybody's exiting out of COVID and feeling good about getting back out, we're going to have volunteer opportunities. One would include mock interviews, resume writing, coaching skills, life skills, some different programs that we've done by our volunteers, budgeting classes, those kinds of things. All those life skills that are very necessary, we want to be able to provide those at no cost to these participants. That's the other thing I wanted to stress. None of this costs anything to them. This is all provided through our resources that are available to us through grants and through the store sales.
I'm curious about how you're a former banker.
I am.
Sitting here in a bank recording a podcast episode. How did you get drawn into this line of work?
You know, after 40 years of banking, I was ready to give back. And I had a good friend who was active in the nonprofit world in Denver, where I was living at the time, working for Community Banks of Colorado. And I went to breakfast with the president of Catholic Charities of Denver. And I said, you know, how can I give back? How can I help you? What can I do? And he said, well, I need your business acumen. I want you to come be part of our senior team. And I was with Catholic Charities of Denver for 7 years, where I ran homeless shelters for single women and families. And when I started, we had 4 shelters. I was about ready to leave, go into full retirement, and then COVID hit. And I said, well, I can't leave this team, and I can't leave these people on the streets. So we opened 4 more shelters. So when I left last July, we had 8 shelters, and we had over 800 souls on board every night, single women and families. It's an amazing need, and it's not getting any easier.
And so how did you get to Kansas City? What brought you here?
Well, this is a proof to my children. You never burn a bridge. The attorney that I used when we were in Colorado with the bank was with Stinson. He was on the board at Goodwill. Called me up one day and says, hey, would you ever think about coming back to Kansas City? And I said, well, what are you thinking? Long story short, here I am.
Oh, well, we're glad that you're here and all of the good work that you're doing, you and your team. Thank you so much for doing that. And we wish you the best. And
well, thank you.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to go out and help, go to mocangoodwill.org. And there's information for how you can reach out and learn more about volunteer opportunities, donation opportunities, and all the different things you talked about today.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure having you here today.
It was my honor.
This is Joe Close, president of Country Club Bank. Thank you to Mike Sennett for being our guest on this episode of Banking on KC. As Mike pointed out, Goodwill's mission extends well beyond its thrift stores to include workforce development and employment opportunities, an innovative recycling program that has saved millions of pounds of material from landfills, and new initiatives like Adult High School and Bridge 2 Technology. These efforts are significantly impacting our community by enhancing access to education and careers, especially in the technology sector, and fostering a more sustainable and inclusive Kansas City. At Country Club Bank, we are dedicated to providing opportunities and supporting local endeavors. Goodwill's mission resonates with our commitment to serving and uplifting our Kansas City family, working toward a brighter, more inclusive future. Thanks for tuning in this week. We're banking on you, Kansas City. Country Club Bank. Member FDIC.